So welcome, one and all, and it's good to see you, and good to share this time together this morning. Be good just to come in prayer, wouldn't it? Just to bring ourselves intentionally before God and just to focus in on God and bring ourselves in a tangible way into God's presence. So should we do that in prayer? God, our hearts and minds and spirits reach for you. God, our hearts yearn for your presence. Our minds yearn for your voice. Our spirits yearn for your touch. God, without you, we are like the dust on the earth, blown and scattered, driven away, pushed back. But you, O God, give us purpose and meaning and life. God, without you, we are nothing, but in you, we are brothers and sisters of Jesus, the Messiah. Brothers and sisters with one another, united in our desire to be with you. And God, we want to thank you that whatever we have been doing, wherever we have been, physically and or emotionally this last week, you have been with us every step of the way. That all we've needed to do is to reach out, to seek you and find you, knowing that when we seek you with all our heart, you have promised to be there. And Lord, there will be times this past week when we haven't necessarily felt you there, but you've been there nonetheless. And we thank you for your constancy. We thank you that you are faithful and true and just. And so, God, it's who you are that we recognize as we gather together this morning. And it's who we are in you that we want to explore as we gather together this morning. God, we want to thank you that you take us on a journey, that you accept us as we come, but in your grace, you don't leave us there, but you transform us by the renewing of our minds. Lord, accept who we are as we come this morning. For we come as an act of worship and praise, adoration, and even sacrifice. And we simply ask, Lord, as we gather together this morning, that we would know something more of your presence with us today. And that sensing your presence, we would be inspired for the week ahead. So come, Lord, we welcome you. Come, Lord, we seek after you with all our hearts, minds, spirits, and strength. Come and be glorified amongst us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good and God is here, wherever here might be for each one of us this morning. And today we're going to be exploring our third hallmark of kahal, those characteristics of the community that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 16, 18, that Jesus said that he would be building, not us. He would be building. And we're exploring how Jesus builds and what Jesus builds in the context of our lives and the 21st century over these few weeks. We saw a couple of weeks ago that the first hallmark is total dependence on God. Total dependence on God. It's something we can't do in our own strength. And we're going to come back to that several times this morning as we reflect on this morning's theme. But last week, we had an opportunity with Julie to begin to think about what it is to listen to God, and that listening is an act of love. That God speaks because he loves us, but we listen because we love him and we want to hear what God has to say and to inform the way that we live our lives. And if we're not listening to God, then how are we going to know what God is saying and doing? What God is wanting for us to say and do, for example. So all these things are very much interconnected, and they overlap in so many different ways. And this morning, we're looking at the next kind of step along the road, if you like. So if step one is dependence, recognizing our dependence on God, and step two is listening, step three is being able to respond, knowing how to respond to God when God does speak and when we know what it is that God wants for us to do. So this morning, we're going to be thinking about how we respond to God. What does that mean? What does that look like? But we're also going to reflect on our experiences. And it's really our experiences that will be the main thrust today, really, of what it is that we probably will learn or be encouraged by. Because, and we're going to look at this in more detail later on, I know, as I look at the faces on the screens in front of me, that we've all had opportunities to listen to God, to hear God for ourselves, and to respond to God. Some of us have responded in very similar ways. Others of us have had more novel or unique ways of responding to God. But we've all responded to God at some point. And some of us, it may have even been in this last week or even this morning already. Others of us, it may have felt a very long time ago. But I know that we've all responded to God at some point and in different ways. And so we need to kind of reflect on those times together this morning. And so as we come before God, we're going to take an opportunity to worship God in Jesus and the Holy Spirit in just a moment. But as we do that, you might want to be thinking about the ways that God has spoken to you in the past and the ways that you've responded. Now, when I say speak and when I say respond, those can seem very, we can put those as very narrow categories. I want to put speaking in its broadest possible context. And I want to put responding in its broadest possible context. So as we begin this morning, what are the ways that God has spoken to you recently or in the past? And what are the ways that you've responded to God, either recently or in the past? But as we reflect on those questions this morning, we're going to dig into that in detail in a little more time. And I want us, first of all, really, really, really just to focus on the center, Jesus. And so, funnily enough, there is a song that reflects on Jesus as the center, which I think gives us a good launching pad for what we're going to be doing. Jesus, be the center. Be the very heart of who we are and what we're about today. Jesus, it's not about us. It is all about you and about the people that you're making us, guiding us, steering us into becoming. Jesus, receive our praise, our adoration, and send your spirit anew. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. So in all that we do this morning, let's keep Jesus front and center, making sure that what we're doing and thinking and saying is all around him and the good news of his gospel. Yeah? Yeah. Good. So the question this morning is, how do we respond to God? And just to help us to kind of think this through a little bit, I'm going to give three scenarios. They're not very nuanced, and obviously life is much more complicated than the scenarios I'm going to give really are, but they're just a way of putting this idea of how we respond into some contemporary scenarios so that we get a chance to kind of think about, if we were the person in these scenarios, how might we respond? How would we like to respond? But in truth, how might we respond? And that could be one and the same thing, or it might be very different. But how do we respond when God prompts us to do something? So here are three different scenarios. And then once we've been through these scenarios, I'll open it up to you to share your own thoughts and insights and perspectives. So scenario one. As you spend time in prayer, you feel God prompting you by God's Spirit to speak to someone about your faith. If you're honest, the thought fills you with dread. You feel that you don't know what to say, and your previous efforts have all been clumsy and awkward, leading to embarrassment all around. You recognize that you have a choice. The choice is this: you can trust God and ask God for help, and then, despite your feelings, try it anyway. Or you can follow your feelings and simply say to God, "I can't do this." Both of those responses is possible. Both of those are a legitimate response to what God is inviting us to do. But only one of them is responding to God. The other is responding to self. Scenario number two. As you walk along the street, minding your own business, you feel prompted by God to engage with a homeless person who is sitting on the pavement at the side of the road. You sense that God is asking you to engage with the homeless person to bring healing and wholeness to that person's life. That you are God's hands and feet and mouth in this particular situation at this particular moment. Boom. No pressure. What might you choose to do? We could ask God for wisdom and the words with which we need to engage this person, words that will lead them on a road to healing and wholeness. Maybe words that encourage them to engage with something like the night shelter or other agencies that can support and encourage them. We could offer to pray for them, to spend time with them. Or we could put our hand in our pockets or purses, find a few coins and drop it in the pot and walk away. Either response is a genuine response. But one is putting trust in God to be with us in the situation that God has called us into. The other is hoping that God will call someone else. Scenario number three. You've been involved in a local campaign group campaigning around an issue of social justice for some time, and you've got to know the group that you're part of. And as you're discussing a particular opportunity for a campaign in the city centre in the not too distant future, the mood of the meeting begins to turn ugly. A small number of those present are urging people to embrace violence, to smash windows, to throw stones at passers-by, and especially the police. You get a vivid picture in your mind of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Jesus teaching his disciples about peace. And you feel that God is calling you to stand up in the meeting and to remind people of the values of peace and peaceful protesting. You could choose to stand up and to speak with your heart pounding and your mouth feeling dry, and ask God to give you the words of wisdom necessary to change the situation around. Or you could choose to stay silent and to see what happens, with the possibility that the mob breaks out and a riot takes place. Either choice is possible and is valid. But one is a response depending on God's presence. The other is a response that, quite frankly, buries our heads in the sand. Now, I said before I read those three scenarios that life is much more nuanced than that. Life is much more complicated than that. And very rarely do we find ourselves in situations that are quite as stark and black and white as the situations I've just described, which makes this whole thing about responding to God difficult. And I want to be really open and honest that sometimes responding to God and knowing what the right thing to do in any given situation can be really complicated. And so I want to be clear about that. And I'm not suggesting that you know, for most of us, we're in those situations, in that black and white way very often. But the basic premise that we are looking at this morning is that when we are open to listening to God, which is what we were looking at last week, then that often places us in places where God calls us to do things that reflect our dependency, our need for a dependency on God. And you see how the three things we've looked at over these last 3 weeks are all connected. Jesus said that for his disciples, they are called to carry their own cross daily. And the cross that we're talking about is often giving up our own sense of what we should be doing in a given situation, what we'd like to do in a given situation, but it's listening to what God is saying and responding to what God is saying. And what we're looking at, therefore, is how we embody the values of Kahal that we've been exploring over these recent weeks. And the values of Kahal will always lead to a place of greater dependency on God, which means that we are always, when we're truly being Kahal, we will always feel that we're being taken further than we feel comfortable. That it's beyond what we feel we can do. It's stretching us. And as it stretches us, then we begin to experience something called growth. If I said to you before we began this morning, who'd like to grow in God? We might all put our hands up and say, yes, please. But the reality is that we only grow in God, we only grow as disciples when we're stretched, when we're out of our comfort zone, when we're beyond our capacity and our ability. And we find ourselves in places where we cannot do what is necessary. Anybody feel encouraged by that this morning? Anybody feel particularly frightened by that thought this morning? And that's the heart of what we're talking about here. Because the good news is that when we are stretched beyond ourselves, but we're doing it because God is with us, guess who supplies the growth? Clue. The answer is not us. The answer is God. And so when we say we would like to be able to respond to God, or we'd like to listen to God, we'd like to grow in God, we'd like to become deeper as a disciple of God. The bottom line always translates as this. We're going to be stretched. We're going to be taken beyond what we can do. And I don't mean this to sound in any way judgmental or critical. It's simply a fact that if we are not being stretched in our faith, I would bet my bottom dollar that we are not growing in our faith. So, note to self, when was the last time you felt stretched by God? Question. It's a really profound question, one that we might want to ponder a little bit more for ourselves as we go on. So the temptation for us as Christians is always to try to respond to God based on what we think, what we feel, what we bring, the resources that we have available. Yeah, in other words, to respond out of our human situation. The problem is when we do that, is that we don't grow because we're not taken beyond. We stay within the limits of ourselves. And the three scenarios that I've outlined, they're stereotypes, they're very artificial, but they demonstrate that we can either, when we hear God's voice, we can stay within our comfort zone and not grow, or we can step out in faith in ways that make us feel profoundly uncomfortable. But when we do that, we see growth. So responding to God is all about our growth in God. Thoughts, comments. What's your sense of responding to God? How have you responded to God? What does that look like? What's inspired that? What did it lead you to do? How did you think about it? How did you feel about it? Does anybody feel they want to share something of their experience this morning? Yeah, Lisa.
I don't know if it answers the question, but I'm totally agreeing with what you're saying, I think. And I had a kind of a very practical experience of it yesterday, because I decided to go for a walk with a friend, and she lives in Southampton and the old lockdown rules. I came up with what I thought was a great idea. I said, I know, let's meet at Fisher's Pond, you know where this pub is, towards Bishop's Waltham, because it was kind of in the middle of where we were. Just decided it would be a good idea, and we got a map, and off we went on this walk, 3 mile walk. And what I hadn't taken account of was the mud. It's been raining an awful lot, and the walk was by a river, and sort of 700 yards into the walk, it was just a nightmare. And sort of halfway along the path, I said, Liz, I don't think I want to go through this again. It's just, I don't want to keep going. But I looked back and I didn't want to go back either, because it was literally thick, thick mud. And the whole walk was like that. And there was one point where I tried to escape the path, and I just climbed into some tree, over some trees and some brambles. And so my friend was walking along in the mud, in the path, persevering. And I was trying to escape and going up a cliff. And eventually we moved, you know, we met up together. But I was just thinking of it in the song, and I'm just totally agreeing with you, I think, Danny, that it kind of represents to me, I suppose, the journey of faith, that sometimes you've got to walk through the mud, and you've got to walk through stuff, you've got to just keep going and walk through stuff you don't want to do. I just wanted an easy ride yesterday, and it didn't want, and some of that stuff to be stretched in faith is actually, it might be facing ourselves, it might be being uncomfortable, having a conversation like the scenarios you go, it's about discomfort, isn't it? And so I haven't got any specific examples, but I think yesterday's walk was a reminder that sometimes you can't keep taking the easy path. You've got to allow God to stretch it in whatever way.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, Jonathan.
Well, I found that when you kind of got a list of things you should be doing and you know you should be doing, and you tick off the easy ones and you leave the one thing that you know is more difficult or whatever. And actually, when you do that most difficult one, things all just lighten up so much because you've actually done what you're always asked to do. And all the other things then have a bit of more joy about them because the easy ones don't have the same level of joy because they're clouded by the thing you really ought to be doing. And that happens all the time, actually.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Yeah. So sometimes the way God speaks is through that. It's kind of, it's almost like positive reinforcement, isn't it? So we know what we should do, but we put other things in the way. But those other things that get in the way don't bring us the joy that we hoped or the fulfillment that we hoped, because the one thing that we that would stretch us and that we know that we really ought to respond to hasn't yet been done. And there's something here about dealing with the rocks first. And rather than attending to the sand, yeah, it's what are the big things? And let's attend to the big things, the significant things, and not spend, you know, we spend all of our time dealing with the inconsequential and the small stuff. We never get around to doing the big stuff. But if we deal with the big stuff first, then funnily enough, we tend to have the energy to still do the little stuff and to fit around the big stuff. So, yeah, David.
So it's quite probable I have a year of big stuff coming up. It will be in September. It'll be 40 years since I moved to Winchester as a student. And if I got the maths right, I think it's 28, 29 years since I got into the book trade. So it's quite probable that by the end of this year, neither of those things will be true. And that's mostly from following God, I think, from wanting to step out and see what happens.
And how does that feel? Knowing that what you're doing is, you believe, is following God, and that's going to lead to significant change and challenge. How does that feel ahead of time?
Mostly exciting, in a vaguely terrifying kind. No, it's all right. I think it seems to be the right thing, and that's what's kept me going. Is that, you know, it's as I take each new step, something seems to confirm it, or affirm it, depending on what we're talking about. And yeah, so things falling into place, which is reassuring.
And in a slightly gritted teeth kind of way. Yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. And so there again is that scenario, isn't it, where we're dependent on God, we're listening to God, God mm-hmm. leads in a direction that we find both affirming but also slightly terrifying. Mm-hmm. And we trust that God is going to be with us in that journey. But whatever happens, the end result will be that you know, David will not be the same person that he is now because he's responded to what God is doing in his life.
Yep.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
In a year's time, will we be able to understand what you say?
Probably.
You're making the assumption, Jonathan, that we understand what he says now, but that's another.
I represent that remark.
Other reflections, other choices that people feel God has led them to make that illustrate what we're talking about this morning. Yeah, John, you need to unmute.
Hold it.
That's it. Well done, John. Oh, you were there.
Hold it. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Now we can hear you.
I guess I am one of those people that perhaps am inclined to pray the prayer, Lord, here am I, send someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that we many of us may suffer from that. But on reflection, this past year particularly has been very different, particularly for people of a certain age, you know, the over 80s and the rest of it, because we've been so restricted as to what we could do. In a sense, one's felt that we have to wait for God to send people to us. You know, we are limited. I suppose, put it more positively, maybe I've come to the conclusion that I've had to simply accept that and be prepared to allow God to bring people to me or us, or it just allow him to, as it were, get us going, because we're so restricted in being at home. The people that we can relate to basically are people that come to us, like the window cleaner, or the people we meet out in the road, the neighbors. Now, these are all people who I feel we could have a ministry to, putting it in those sort of terms. But we have to be guided by God. And I think that more particularly so as we get old. You know, we can't get out and do things as we did in former times, particularly when we got locked down. But at the moment, I think it's a case of me trusting God to lead us in whatever path he has for us. Thank you.
Thank you. And John, I just want to thank you for the honesty with the way you started that conversation, because I think that captures something that many of us experience, that sense of, you know, here am I, please send someone else. I think that is, you know, that is something that is, you know, I know I've felt that on many occasions. And I've learned the hard way that sometimes God does do that. He does send somebody else, but that doesn't make me feel better. That actually makes me feel worse. And so responding to what God is calling us to, a little bit like we've already been hearing this morning, when we do respond to the things that God calls us to do in the time frame that God calls us to do it, we always feel encouraged. It always brings a blessing to us. There's always fruit in our lives, as well as in the lives of those that we've touched, because we've touched them in some particular way. And I think it's also true, John, in what you're saying, that this last year has been a particular challenge. But funnily enough, one of the things that I'm recognizing is that it's given, for many of us, it's given us more time to spend listening to God, either in a more kind of formal prayer type way, an intentional sitting down and listening to God, or maybe it's given us more time to be reading our Bibles or to be reflecting on that, or maybe connecting with people in ways that we're not used to. And in that novelty, we've been hearing God in different ways than we're used to. And that's been a blessing for many. But also, John, you pick up on something really important there, which is the whole timing thing. That sometimes we think that we've got to do what we've got to do right now, because that's what we think we should be doing. That's not what God is saying. And I know, I'm sure Jonathan could reflect on this, because it's certainly been my experience with chaplaincy, and maybe Lisa as well, but my experience with chaplaincy at the hospital is that you don't force a conversation. You wait for the other person to want to bring that conversation to you. But what you are is a presence over time that people begin to trust. And so, John, with your neighbours, for example, and the window cleaner, over time, you're building a relationship and a presence out of which, if one of your neighbours wanted to say something that was connected to faith, they know they could come and talk to you about that question. And there's a time for everything. There's a time to sow seed. There's a time to water seed, to see it grow. And then there's a time for harvest. And sometimes we're called to play up one part in that process. Other times we're called to play more than one part. But knowing what we're called to do rather than what we think we should do is a really important distinction. So thank you, John. I think there's lots of really important things in that. Other thoughts, other responses, other experiences. Eric.
My thought is, if you've taken time making friends with someone and you land up blurting out the gospel, what will that do with the friendship? Is it? I think I can answer that myself. It's a matter of trusting God that what you do land up saying is from God and He's in control.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're back to that dependence on God again, aren't we? Let's remind ourselves the starting point of what we're talking about this morning is starting from a place that says we are dependent on God. And as we're dependent on God, we listen for God. And when God speaks and calls us to do something, then we respond. And so, Eric, in your scenario, we can form a friendship with somebody. We can blurt out the gospel and it's the wrong moment because we feel we should be doing it, not God is calling us to do it in that moment. And it's about discerning whether God is calling us to do something in that moment or not. In whose strength are we doing it? In whose agenda, if you like, is this about? Is it our agenda or is it God's agenda? And if we're listening to God and we're sensing this is God's agenda, then we can have confidence. That's not to be arrogant, but we can be confident that however ineffective what we blur out might sound in our ears, it might just be the thing that somebody needed to hear. Thanks, Julie. I've seen your hand. And I always remember many, many years ago, before I started training for ministry, Linda and I were out for a walk with a friend who was a kind of, she was on the edge of, she was a very spiritual kind of person, but wasn't really that interested in a Christian spirituality. And we were out we were having a conversation with her and she asked a particular question and it was her that was asking the question and I was able to respond to the question. And as I was responding to the question, I just felt God put in my mind a picture. And so I shared this picture with her, which in my kind of very naive ways didn't sound particularly gospel-like because it was drawing on her kind of connection to New Age things and that kind of New Age spirituality. And most of us wouldn't have recognized as what I was sharing as being the gospel because it wasn't from quoting scripture. It wasn't talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit in a direct kind of way. It was talking about energy and it was talking about, you know, putting it into that kind of language. And as we had this conversation, just this light went on and we just saw, Linda and I were there, and we saw this light go on in her eyes and she joined up the dots. And what had happened is that I had spoken truth, not dressed up in Christian language, but I'd spoken a profound truth into her life that enabled her to join the dots. And then she started to engage with an Alpha course and bits and pieces and has kind of flirted with the church for the last 30 years. Never fully quite got there, sadly, but has always been on that kind of journey. It's about responding in the moment in the way that God gives us. So, yes, Eric, it's about building those relationships and allowing God to tell us when is the right time and trusting that what we say will have the impact that we're hoping, believing that it will have. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Julie. Oh, the, sorry. Eric, you want to respond?
The situation I'm talking about is I've got very, very friendly with the station customer ambassador is her title, and it's Emma. I've been praying for her, but somehow I haven't been able to share the gospel. We share all sorts of things. She's reading a book I've read. I've given her a daughter, I've given her an item for her daughter to put in the charity thing she's running, and all sorts of things. But somehow the gospel hasn't got there. Although she gives me a daily text thing that I rip off every day, so she knows where I stand. But somehow I haven't been able to share the gospel with her.
Yeah,
which concerns me. Which is a strange situation I find myself in.
So here's the truth. Jesus is building his kahal, not us. The responsibility for her salvation is Jesus is responsible for her salvation, not us. We are a tool in the toolbox. And it may be that for whatever reason, Eric, you're the wrong tool right now. Or it may be that God, in his wisdom, has chosen a different tool and somebody else is speaking that to her. If and when God says to you, I want you to have this conversation with her, that's one thing. But if God isn't in that, saying to you, this is what I want you to say, then trust God. And continue to pray for her, obviously. But yeah. Trust God. It's in God's hands. God is in charge of her salvation, not us. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
So, Jonathan, you want to respond, but Julie had her hand up before. So, I mean, that difficult thing of what you want to say is probably relevant to what we've just said. Are you able to pause for a second, Julie, and let Jonathan respond, and then we'll come to you?
So what matters for her is your relationship with God.
Yeah, you're modelling something to her.
Say that again, sorry.
What's important for her is your relationship with God. What she sees in you of your relationship with God. What she sees of God in you.
Ah, right. Thank you.
And when the time is right, if that's God's plan, she will come to you, not you need to go to her. Is that right, Jonathan?
Thank you. Lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Julie, thank you for your patience.
I was just going to say, I don't always feel the sort of most articulate when you're put in sort of spots and have to respond and say the right thing in the moment. And I dare say, maybe if God says to me, say this to someone, then hopefully I'll spot it. But what God does do is, so I tend to sort of plan what I'm going to say. But in the planning, sometimes splurge, it all comes from God and it's out in the paper.
Yeah.
And other times it isn't. And I remember a time years back, George and Sarah phoning up on a Saturday morning, and I was trying to plan worship for the following week and a bit ahead, not the next day. And I'd been agonising over it for a couple of years. And they basically said, that's taken too long. And I just remember that moment, because other times when I have been either preparing something or I'm not talking just church, sort of anything else, I've got a plan. Often it just sort of flows through and it's there, and you know that that's the right thing that's got to be said.
Yeah, brilliant. And I want to recognise, without making too much of this, that we're all different. And we need to recognise that we're all different. So the way that God, we looked at this a little bit last week, didn't we? But the way God speaks to you will be different to the way that God speaks to me and speaks to the rest of us. So God knows that. God made you. God loves you. And God will speak to you in a way that makes sense to you and that you can understand. So don't imagine for a second that the way God speaks to me is the way God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you in a way that makes it abundantly clear that it is God that is speaking. You know, it's kind of like, hello, this is God. Actually, that's never happened to me. And I wish it would somehow. But God will speak to you in a way that speaks to you. And so you will know that this is God speaking. And how have I experienced that? I've experienced that with a picture in my head. I've had that as kind of words kind of in my head. And I've had that as a sense, like a wave of emotion that's kind of welled up and just known that this isn't me, this is God. And I can't say what that's like. Normally I get like a shiver that goes down my spine, like a bolt of electricity that goes down my spine when God's speaking something to me. There's all these different clues that I have that say that God is speaking. And yet at the same time, there's that sense of, but I still can't be sure. Does that make sense? But the way God speaks to you will be different to that. We've got to be who we are. So be free, be relaxed. God will make it abundantly clear what God is up to and what God wants to do. Yeah. Yes. Morning, Lionel. I think that's Lionel. I can.
It's Gwyneth's iPad.
That was the clue.
Morning, Lionel and Gwyneth, if you're there, how lovely to see you. Sort of see you.
Okay, I'm just pausing for a second so that we can hopefully engage in some way. Okay, I'm not quite sure what. I was going to pause there anyway, and I want us to reflect back where we started this morning, back into the fact that this all starts with Jesus. This all starts with God. This isn't about us. This all starts with God. Jesus is building his kahal, not us. This isn't about us. So as we started off by saying, putting Jesus at the center, I want us to reflect that all that we're talking about, we can only do in the power of Christ alone. So let's use that song now to continue these reflections and these thoughts. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. I will be building my kahal. It's not what we do. It's who he is. In Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, a passage I'm sure many of us are familiar with, Paul writes these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul reminds the Christians in Rome that they are being transformed as their minds are renewed in their experience of God. That's what we're exploring today. That's what this is all about. That's what we've been exploring these last few weeks. And in order to develop an attitude that responds to God rather than just to ourselves, we need to have our minds spiritually renewed. We need our thinking to be changed. We need our attitudes to be changed, our responses to be changed. Easy, huh? Easy to say, not always easy to do. But I want to encourage us this morning. Whether you've been somewhat challenged by what we've been talking about this morning, or whether you've been somewhat encouraged, I want to encourage you further. Because we have all responded at some point to what God is doing in our lives. We've all heard at some point the call of God in our lives. We've all trusted and put our dependency on God at some point in our lives. And there's one thing that as Christians that unifies us in that dependence on God, the call of God, the response of God. And we see that in something that I'm pretty sure all of us who are gathered here right now have experienced at some point in our lives. What might I be thinking of? Any thoughts? Lisa?
The Holy Spirit?
So, yes, but there's something that normally happens before somebody's baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're something in water first.
Baptized.
Yay!
We're not doing very well with crosswords this morning, are we?
Okay. No crosswords from my point of view. Just encouraging ones, I hope. So yes, baptism. And it's what, as believers, we share in common. It's a process by which at some point in our experience, we heard the call of God. We heard the call of God invite us to come and be united with Christ for eternity. And something within us responded to that and said, I need that. I am dependent for my existence now and forever on the power of God, the presence of God. And so in response to the call of God to be baptized, I'm fairly sure that most of us who are here have said, yes, I will do that. One of the reasons why the early Baptist Christians stopped baptizing babies and started baptizing believers is that babies can't make a response. Others make a response for them, but a baby themselves can't make that response to God. Now, I'm not going to argue over the theological nuances of the different forms of baptism and christening and all that kind of stuff. That's not the point of this morning. What I want to encourage us with is that for those of us who have been baptized as a believer, we heard God's call to walk with him. We heard that and we responded to that. So I want to encourage us this morning, however much you might have been thinking, feeling that this all sounds great for other people, the chances are you've already done this. You know what this is like. You know what this feels like because you've lived it. It's part of your and our collective experience. We chose in the waters of baptism to die to ourselves and to be raised to new life now and forever in Christ. To let the power of his death and resurrection impact us for eternity. Those are the baptismal vows that we undertook, wasn't it? And for many of us, our experience of being baptized in water then led to an experience either then or at some point after that, the experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Having that sense of the power of God come upon us and to flood through us and to impact the way that we seek to live our lives. That's what we're talking about this morning, when we respond in faith. We don't know in advance what that's going to look like or feel like, but we respond in faith. And God, in his grace, fills us with his love, with his spirit, and with his passion. And so I want to encourage us this morning that this isn't just an abstract thing that we're talking about. This is something that we've all experienced. And for some of us, that experience is much more recent. Not the baptism bit, but the ongoing experience. Now, I don't want what I'm saying this morning to be misunderstood, because what I want to make clear is that what we're talking about this morning is impossible, impossible in our own strength. It's like sitting an exam where the pass grade is the only acceptable grade and the pass grade is 1,000%. That's just not possible, is it? In our limited humanness, the best we could ever hope to achieve is 100%. But the pass grade is 1,000%. And so there's an exam called life that none of us can pass in our own strength. And that's why we need Jesus. This all comes back to Jesus. This isn't about who we are. This isn't about the resources we have. This isn't about our charisma. This isn't about our intellect or our emotional intelligence. This all comes back to Jesus. Jesus, who said, "I will be building my kahal, not you, not us." Because collectively, we don't measure up to what Jesus is doing and wants to happen. In our own strength, from our own resources, we cannot do this. And for each one of us, when we were baptized, we recognized that we can't do this on our own. And I don't know what different churches practice different kind of baptismal rites and what have you. But the purpose of baptism is to say to God, "God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need you. I need you for now. And I need you for the whole of my life. And I need you for eternity. I need you." That's why baptism is about, first of all, submission. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is submitting our lives to God. Laying our lives down, laying ourselves down, laying us all our stuff down. It's not about us. We can't do it on our own. But the good news is that Jesus did it through his cross and resurrection. Jesus hit that 1,000% mark. That means we don't have to. If we were unmuted at this point, I would be hoping for an alleluia from Eric, or possibly if we're being a bit Pentecostal, a praise the Lord. Because the good news is that we don't have to do what we can't do. We never have had to do what we can't do. We are totally dependent on God and what God reveals. We're not called to be Superman or Superwoman. We're not called to be a new Messiah. That's somebody else's job. That's not our job. The whole reason that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit is because on our own, we can't do this. And the good news is that we were never meant to try. We were never meant to try. We were simply asked to listen and to do what God tells us. So the really good news that I want to encourage us with this morning is that we don't have to be things that we're not, people that we're not, and we don't have to do things that we're not asked to do. The good news is that you don't have to do what I do, and I don't have to do what you do. The beauty of Kahal is that we are all responding to God as God calls us to. It's both individual as well as collective. Friends, if you are doing what Jesus is asking you to do, then we all grow. If we're all doing what God is asking us to be doing, we all grow. And you know what? God's mission happens. This isn't difficult. This isn't rocket science. This isn't complicated. If we simply do what God is asking us to do today and what he's asking us to do tomorrow, the impact is that we grow and others around us grow. And we all grow. That's at the heart of Kahal. People stretched. Growth happens. God is glorified. And his people grow. So the good news is that with the Holy Spirit, God is speaking to us today. God hasn't stopped speaking. Maybe we've stopped listening. But that's another question. But God continues to lead us and guide us and hone us and develop us. Yes, Terry.
Just a small aside or complimentary thing, I'm not sure. When you were talking just now about the simplicity of moving God's way, of moving when he asks us to move and not in our own strength, I just have this mental image of a chessboard with individual pieces on it. And God has a strategy for the game, and we're all off going in our own directions and getting in each other's way or not going where we ought to go in order to be in the right place at the right time. And there's God there going, I had it all set out, but you're not listening.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And we're all kind of going off in individual ways or going when we're not supposed to move or just not able to. I mean, listening is my worst thing. I am a visual learner. I'm kinesthetic. I do not listen well. And I just have this mental image of God trying to play chess with us and us just going our own way.
I love that image. I think that's a really powerful image because each of the pieces has got its own part to play, isn't it? And if a pawn tries to be a queen, then, you know, you end up in all sorts of trouble. And likewise, if a queen pretends to be a pawn, for that matter. Just saying. But yeah, I love that. I think that's a really helpful analogy. Yeah. God is the master, the grandmaster. We've just got to do what we're being asked to do. Yeah. Any other responses, any other thoughts, any other reflections? Has what we've been thinking about this morning helped you, encouraged you, made you think more carefully, perhaps more clearly about how God speaks and how we might respond? Are you encouraged to know that you've done this already? That there are moments in your life you can look back on and say, I got it right. Hallelujah. Even as we accept the challenge. Yeah, Lisa.
I was just thinking as you were talking there as well about the verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And like, we all heard God's voice at some stage. And as you're saying, it would have been different. But we had to respond. We have to open the door. And that's the bit I struggle with sometimes, is it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? It's not just a one-off
yes.
thing that happened.
Yeah.
We've got to keep responding. So we've got to keep hearing God and then opening the door, whatever that door is that God's asking us to open next.
Absolutely.
Where's God knocking and where do we open the door?
Yeah.
And it is scary sometimes, isn't it? It's but you know, if we know it's not God, we can just close it again, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. And that opening the door, that knocking isn't a one-off thing, as you're saying. It is absolutely something that is an everyday experience and every moment of every day. Can we hear the knocking? But
yeah, a bit earlier on, I thought of Ecclesiastes 11, which is one of my favourite passages. Starts, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you will receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. And he goes on, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. In other words, what happens, happens. Sometimes we have no control. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. So you have to, and then the bit ends with, sow your seed in the morning and at evening, let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, whether both will do equally well. Now, that's not saying that we don't know God is in control. It's not recognized. It's not saying there's no interaction with God necessary. We just need to put our stuff out there. But it made me think, I want to guarantee that what I do is going to work. And I can't do that. I can never do that. I had a sense of, at a previous committee meeting of the band I'm in, that we should have a whip round for somebody whose computer got broken. Now, she's quite isolated. She needs a computer. So I thought, you know, there's 40, 50 of us in this group. Surely we could whip round and get her. Yeah, fine. So I suggested it. But it's not been taken up. And the rest of the committee felt, no, there's this reason, that reason why we shouldn't. I don't quite agree, but I'm this morning has made me consider, well, maybe this is something God has encouraged me to do and I need to keep on going in this way without cutting across everybody, but there is a way through to something that God wants. Yeah. I just thought I'd put that out there because sometimes we just have to sow our seed and let God do his work of making it grow. And you know, some of the seed's going to go away. Some of the seed is going to be on the path where the birds will pick it up and, you know, nothing will happen. But some of it will fall on good soil.
Yeah. And so thank you, Bart. And what that connects for me, what that reminds me of is that Kahal is both individual and corporate. And sometimes, particularly in church life, we say, well, the church should be doing this, when actually God is calling us as individuals to be doing that. Yeah. And it may be that the church catches hold of that as a vision and decides to back it and support it or not. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't laid that on our heart and that that's something that we should be doing, regardless of whether the church owns and accepts that or not. And Kahal is both individual and corporate. And that's a profound challenge for those of us that are used to the church as an institution or as an organization. But it's recognizing that we are called first as individuals, and then we're also called as a body. Julie, yeah, you wanted to say something.
I was just going to say, sometimes I feel I should put something forward or like Bart has just described. And when it's not sort of the ultimate outcome, I then question, was I completely misguided or did I not hear God in the first place? But I think more the point is that God said, say this, and it prompts a debate that then through it, people arrive at a point.
Yeah, brilliant. And if we hold these things lightly before God, and we remind ourselves, actually, it's not about us and whether our idea or our input has had the effect that we desire, but it's simply that we have been faithful to what God has stirred within us. What happens to that isn't in our control. But we can look in the mirror at the end of the day as we're brushing our teeth before we go to bed, and we can say, have I today done all the things that God has asked me to do? I'll tell you what, when the answer is yes, you sleep a whole lot better. Yeah, Lisa.
Just linked onto that and what Bart and Julie were saying, some of it's timing as well, isn't it? And you talked about that earlier, Danny, I think, that sometimes you put something out there. I mean, that example you've given, Bart's a brilliant example, because I really kind of identify with that kind of example. And you put something out and you think, oh, goodness, was that a stupid idea? Or, you know, why haven't people responded? Or was it the wrong thing? And then somewhere down the line, something happens and somebody else takes up the idea, or just something happens and you think, thank you, Lord, I wasn't dreaming that. It was right to do it. So sometimes it's timing, isn't it?
And what I'm hearing in this part of the conversation are two things. I'll get my fingers around the right way. Two things. The first is faith. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. And we grow when we allow ourselves to be stretched by faith. That's the scary bit. We don't know the outcome, but we believe that God is in this. The second thing is allied to that, and that's called trust. We have to trust in a God who is good and who loves us and who has poured his spirit out upon us and has given us his power. Faith and trust is the bedrock that these things are built on. And that's what makes it hard. But that's also what gives it power. Faith and trust. Any final thoughts? Yeah, Terry, yeah.
So it's another little one again. It's just, we were talking about, Bart was saying sowing the seed when, you know, the farmer will sow when he feels it's the right time, and then trust in what comes back. And I was just reminded of the warm-up exercises we used to do in the netball before we had a game. And it wasn't tactics and it wasn't anything serious. It was just little catch and release, pass it on to the next person, then it will come back. And it's in some ways, perhaps what we're talking about is catching a word from God and releasing it out and being ready to catch the next ball that comes at you. It's not necessarily seeing the ball to the goal. It's that catch and pass, catch and release. And then the next person, hopefully, is aware that the ball is coming their way, catches and passes it on. And I think that maybe sort of encapsulates some of what we've talked about, you know, the trust that's involved in passing it on, but the readiness to catch the next thing that comes.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's recognising that, therefore, we're part of a team. Yeah, we've got to play our part, but we play our part in a team. It's both individual and corporate. Jonathan?
That's what Eric's talking about, really, or the situation he's in with his friend at the station. Mm. And that we don't always know who the other players are on our side in that sense either. Yeah. So we just have to do our bit and trust that what our bit we do is what we've got to do. And the rest is up to...
Yeah.
Whoever else he's called into the team.
So it's a bit like, I don't know about you when you were growing up, you know, I used to play quite a lot of football in the street. We didn't have a strip, you know, that we wore. So the same kids played football in the street, you know, and so different days, different people mixed up and made different teams. And the number of times somebody passed the ball to the wrong person because they'd forgotten that yesterday they were part of their team, but today they're not. But there was no identifying kind of, you know, oh, that's this team and that's that team. You just had to rely on your memory to get it right. And in a sense, we don't know what other people as part of God's team look like. I mean, heaven forbid, they look like you. Oh,
What a motley crew. What all sorts of different shapes and sizes and all sorts of different personalities and all that kind of stuff. Who knew the infinite variety that there is in God? Amazing. But that's what we're dealing with, isn't it? And so it's having an ear the whole time. I don't know, have you ever been in that situation where you've met a stranger for the first time and you've come away and you've thought to yourself, I know that they're a Christian. Not by anything they've said, but because you can see God's love pouring out of them. Yeah? And you don't have to ask the question. You just know that they're a believer because you see something of God, and something that thing of you that is of God connects in a way that is beyond words and beyond that encounter. And you just come away knowing that person, they are definitely a believer. You had that experience? Yeah, Jonathan.
Well, they're not a Christian believer in the way that we would understand. They might even be a Muslim who has said something to you which you know I'm being spoken to by God here. Yep. That's a challenge for you.
Yeah. We might relegate that to another day at just gone 12 o'clock. That could set us on for another hour of conversation. But question, does God speak through people who aren't Christians? Yes. The first time I spoke God's truth to somebody in a prophetic way, I wasn't a Christian. What does that say? Oh. Head explodes, mind blown, all those kind of things. But we'll come back to that on another day. So, but that just reminds us that Kahal, what God is doing, what Jesus is building, is bigger than and is somewhat different to this word that we translate as church. Kahal is bigger than, is more profound than church. Something to take away and have over your dinner. You can carry on chewing that one for days, weeks, months yet to come. I'm mindful that our time is kind of just about gone. We're just about on 12 o'clock. One final song to remind us of all the things that we've been sharing this morning. It's a song that we've become quite familiar with over the last little while, because it just speaks of that profound truth of what God is doing in his kingdom in these days. And it always brings a smile to my face. So I hope you enjoy.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. So let's finish with prayer. God, we want to thank you for what we've been reminded of and what we've seen of you today. God, we want to pray that your fire would burn in our hearts afresh, that you would release us individually and collectively to be the Kahal that you're building us into. God, we want to pray that you would deepen our dependence on you, that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear you clearly, and you'd move our hearts to respond. God, we want to be a people who demonstrate faith and trust and see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. God, we need you. We've always needed you, but we recognize how much more we need you today. So come, Lord, have your way amongst us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.